This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We're continuing our collaboration with the folks from the Freedom Film Network, revisiting past films that were made over the last two decades, which tackled various human rights issues in Malaysia. So since last June, we've been catching up with filmmakers about their work released through the Freedom Film Fest and have discussed the film's relevance and significance in today's context, whether things have changed for the better, gotten worse, or remained the same. So today on the show, I'm joined by Albert Bansa, whose 2019 film Hidup Aku, which translates to My Life, follows the life of Tony Anaiman, a construction worker from Dalat in Mukah in Sarawak, who, like many others, was forced to leave his village in search of a better life. But at what cost to him and his family? So Albert joins me now to share more, both about the film he made and also his own experiences of growing up in Sarawak. Welcome, Albert. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Juliet. It's great to be here.
All right. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you and to talk to you today. So can we start off by getting to know you a little bit better? As I mentioned, you hail from Sarawak as well. Tell me, you know, what were your early years like growing up in Sarawak? What were those? What was that like?
So I grew up in Dalat Town, Sarawak, which is center of Sarawak. So yeah, in the middle of Sarawak. And my dad's working as construction workers. So in my early childhood, we always move around. So whenever there's a like construction project, so my dad will go work over there. And then once it completed, then we move to another places. But as soon as I entering primary school, my dad stopped moving around because he thinks that it's better for me to just stay in one place and study. In one place. And then, I remember that, during school holiday, I also help out in the construction side. I remember that we always going back for gawai. So that's as much as I can remember.
Okay. All right. I was just reading another interview that you did a while ago, right? And you were talking about how your schooling years were like, you know, that it wasn't the most pleasant. You're Iban, am I correct? And your identity was not even acknowledged in the schools. Like, you know, you were taught about other people's cultures, but not your own Iban culture. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, correct. So, because I growing up and then, we speak Iban, I learned Iban culture, but once I enter primary school, we never got the chance to learn about ourselves, and then but we need to learn about other people's culture and religion. So I was wondering why is that, and that's basically what also kind of motivated me to make films about indigenous people also.
Okay. All right. And that is my next question, actually. You know, how did all of your experiences, everything that you went through, how did that impact your interest in becoming a filmmaker or in learning filmmaking, and capturing stories of ordinary Malaysians?
I always love watching TV. But during my early childhood, usually these workers' quarters, we don't even have electricity. So I always remember that I will always go to neighbor's house and watch TV with them. And also I remember that TV in those days, they don't even have any program about Sabah or Sarawak. Except for during Hari Gawai, and then they will have some TV ads about the communities.
I remember the costumes or the dances, or very all about look how wonderful this culture is, but not actually discussing the sort of issues or lived realities, right? Basically, of what the communities were going through.
Yeah, and I guess that's also like motivate me to, because when I saw that there's no TV program or even a film about that talking about like real issues, mm-hmm. like real people, and like a real representative of the local communities. So I'm thinking that I need to do something about it, and I think documentary is one of those, and I was interested in watching documentaries, so I also want to do documentaries.
Okay, all right. And you studied filmmaking, right? I mean, you actually did a diploma or a degree in filmmaking, am I correct?
Not really. I don't have any background in TV or films. But once I joined, I studied like tourism management.
Okay.
But after that, I cannot find job in those industry. So I joined Jaringan Orang Asal Malaysia.
Okay.
So Jaringan Orang Asal Malaysia is a network of indigenous people organization that cover Malaysia, Sabah, and Sarawak. And the main goal is to advocating for indigenous people's right. So during my works over there, I was the media officer. Mm-hmm. So from there, I learned to how to take photos, take videos. And a lot of my work are mostly documenting all of our programs and issues that faced by the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I pick up all the skills through
That's great. I mean, because I thought Pengirup Aku was so well done. But we'll talk about the film later. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I guess after that, when Freedom Film Network opened, like the film grant call, then I applied for it and won the grant. So with Freedom Film Network, then Pengirup Aku was produced. And I was always want to do something about my own community in Dalat and also talking about their issues. So Pengirup Aku is my first documentary talking about my own communities.
Okay, all right. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but I just want to talk a little bit more about Sarawak. So I know that you went back recently, right? I mean, we of course know that the Sarawak state elections just took place. What was that like, going home? Any observations that you'd like to share from your recent visit?
I finally able to come back like after 2 years because of the pandemic.
Mm.
So when I come back to my kampung, I saw that a lot of improvement. Not because of the government, I can say, but because people are kind of tired of waiting. So mm-hmm. now I saw a lot of people instead of like depend on waiting for government to like bring electricity, people now have their own like solar power.
Wow.
They install their own signal booster because to improve the signal in the area. And another example is, so I went to my dad's longhouse because there's a party who want to campaign with their candidate in there. So I mean, if previously I think that they will treat this candidates or party like as a guest of honor when they come to the longhouse,
mm-hmm.
but this time they are, so the candidate and the party was presented with the presentation slides. So the slide have like what are their demands. So they want clean water, they want electricity, they want proper road, and then they also like very frankly ask them, why should we vote for you? And of course I was there to implement this whole interaction. And then also I guess people are more matured now, and it kind of motivated me to do more to help them voice out their issues.
That's wonderful to hear. So you've got footage. I'm guessing that there's going to be are you planning on making a documentary from all the footage from this recent elections that you captured?
Definitely. I'll try to do something with it.
Okay. All right. We'll look forward to that. All right. We're just going to go for a quick break. But when we come back, we'll find out more about the film that you made back in 2019, which is called Penghidup Aku. I'm speaking today to Albert Bansa. He is the filmmaker behind Penghidup Aku, and which is going to be re-released on the Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
20, lebih 20 tahun kerja sebagai kontraktor. Baru sekolah sewak lu kerja ngau yang first man. Baru sekolah. Berapa belas tahun kamu main sana? Pum dua nak push. Nak ambil pum dua. Susah kerja kontrak susah. Kelak ke. Gaji mat.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Albert Bansa. He is the filmmaker behind the film Penghidup Aku, which was released, you know, under the Freedom Film Fest back in 2019, and which follows the life of Tony Ana Iman, a construction worker from Dalat in Muka, Sarawak, who, like many others, you know, was forced to leave his village in search of a better life. But, you know, the costs probably outweighed the benefits. If you watch the film, you'll understand more. But let's talk about the film now, Albert. In your own words, how would you describe what Penghidup Aku is all about for those of us who haven't caught it yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's a story of a father, a construction worker, and who needs to leave behind his child back in Longhouse because he earns so little that he can't support his children. And this always happens in Sarawak. So people working out in town, but their children will be left behind in Longhouse because they cannot support it. And also because they think that living in kampung is better to the children. Mm-hmm. That's basically the stories.
Okay. And I mean, I've caught the film and I really, really enjoyed it. It made me think about so many things. And there are, you know, it's a very simple sort of storyline that you've showed in the film. It's just kind of like Tony's day-to-day life and then the lead up to Gawai, isn't it? And then him heading back to his village. But, you know, so many different issues are brought up, you know, through that very simple narrative, if I can call it that. Why were these some of the issues, you know, from Sarawak that you were keen to explore or explain more, you know, to people who don't know about it through your work?
I always, if the issues are not covered, like I don't see it in TVs or news, then I feel like I need to do something about it. Mm. So when, in Penghidup Aku, people like don't really talk about like how like leaving your children behind is an issues, and also like children went to boarding school as early as 7 years old is good. Like children 7 years old, they need to live in boarding school and they need to take care of themselves. Also like how these people working people, like working very hard, but they still earn so low. I feel like at least with this film that people are start talking about it. So,
Mm-hmm. And Tony is a really, he's a really interesting character. I mean, you always see him with a cigarette in his mouth, very open about what's happening to him. I know there's one scene where he goes to the ATM, I think, and then takes out 50 ringgit and says, "Haha, that's it, my bank account is empty already." You know, I think things that, you know, some of us in our middle class bubble don't even think about, right? That 50 ringgit is nothing to us. He's really interesting. How do you know Tony, actually? Is he somebody that you know? I mean, why was he the protagonist that you chose to showcase in this film?
So Tony is a friend from my low house. And he's been working as a construction worker for more than 20 years. Mm. So, and he always like working together with my father. So he's very cheerful, like as you can see in the film, working very hard. Like even though he's working like far away, he never forget his route and always come back to Longhouse like whenever possible. Mm. And he loves his son and will always like try to go back to meet him.
Yeah, and Kevin is the other character that we see a lot of in the film. So Kevin, of course, is his son. Tony is a single father, and Kevin is living with his grandparents, am I correct, in the longhouse. And like you said, La, at the age of 7, they have to go and live in a boarding school because the journey from the longhouse to school is like, what, 2 hours or something like that?
Yeah, and also people feel that when they going to like boarding school, these children will like focus on their studies, which is not always the case because, you know, you are children, so you want to be with your family. So, I mean, this is kind of like another way, like how children is affected by it. So they need to stay back in kampung, went to boarding school, separated with family, and then had to take care of themselves. So, like, of course, they won't have like the motivation to studies, and which is why, like, you know, dropout rate among the indigenous people are quite high compared to other communities.
Yeah, I have a soon to be 7-year-old as well, and I was watching the film and thinking, gosh, I would never have the heart to send her away at such a young age. But obviously I don't, I mean, I've got schools right next to me, right? This is not a problem that I'm familiar with. So it's very interesting and really heartbreaking to see as well. So the film came out in 2019, right? And I guess, you know, you wanted to cover topics like poverty, access, education, so many different things, right? How was the reception to the film when it came out back in 2019?
It was received very well from the audience, like the films, and they also said the same thing. Like these issues also happen in like other places, and although now like the issue is still going on, but and also you add COVID to it, so it became worse.
Oh,
like
gosh, yeah.
Some of these workers lost their jobs, but I have the chances like to screen this film to Tony, to other people like in the communities, and they like the film very much because, you know, it's their own film, like showing themselves like in the screen. I wish that I could do more.
Okay, I mean, I think you've done a lot, and you're right, like, you know, there's not enough film representation on our national TV, am I correct? You know, aside from, as we discussed earlier, like these sort of cultural celebrations and these sort of like, rah-rah, we are all one Malaysia, but we're not actually talking about lived realities, lah. How do you feel looking back at the film in today's climate, you know, as we are still sort of coming out of COVID, following the recent state elections, the issues still remain, you say, or are you seeing some sort of changes at all?
I guess the issues is still like remains. Like I said previously, now you add COVID to it. So like some of these workers lost their jobs. Like Tony himself, he now's going back to kampung, now working as security guard in the oil palm plantation. But before that, when Tony, like when COVID time, because you cannot work, so Tony back to kampung, but because he still have kampung, so he can fish, he can hunt, but for others which don't have like kampung, so I don't know how they can survive during that time.
That's another huge issue as well, right? Land grabs and you know, the whole issue of indigenous rights to their land and all of that, that's also another huge issue. So the issues remain, but I mean, of course, this is why, you know, you keep making the films that you're doing to show a different perspective of what's actually happening. Talk to me about making the film itself. You know, how long did it take you to put it together? Like I said, it's very well put together. I really think it's a lovely film, even though it's tackling really difficult topics. But, you know, visually, it's very beautiful. There's lovely music. Tell me about that, the whole process of making the film.
It's all thanks to Freedom Film Network because, of their support when I'm making the film. The whole documentary was shot, like, in 2 weeks. times. Mm-hmm. So I went back to Dalat like for 1 week to shoot the Gawai scene. And another one is another 1 week is to shoot like Tony's walking in Dalat town. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it's a really well shot. So some of the footage I shot myself, but some of it like, yeah, I have like volunteers who are professional cameramen. Yeah, so his name is Male, like a very professional audio person, help me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thanks to these people that, yeah, this hidup aku very well done. And yeah, I'm personally very happy with, yeah, how we did the films.
Okay, yes. And I really recommend anyone, you know, go and watch it. And for those people who are going to come to it for the first time, Albert, what do you hope that they will take away from it?
I guess it kind of like motivation for you, I don't know, to do more good stuff, to be good to others. You know, if you are an employee working hard or employer, and then you treat your pekerja like how you want to be treated, you know, pay them well. And also, yeah, I mean, love your children.
I mean, yeah, that you can see Tony loves his son a lot. Okay, well, what are you working on next? You know, anything coming up in the near future that we can look forward to as well?
I mean, for now, I don't really have a specific project that I'm working on. I'm mostly like helping others with their project. But yeah, I mean, I hope in the future we'll have the time and also the resources to do more talking about Sarawak stories.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Albert, for joining me today. Before I let you go, any last message that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I guess, keep talking about, if there's no one else talking about issues your community face, then you step up and do the stories.
Yes, step up and do the stories. If you're in a position to help, help, right? Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, last word is thank you, Juliet, for having me. Yeah.
And it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today, Albert. I was speaking to Albert Bansa. He's a filmmaker behind the film Pengirup Aku. You can catch the film by heading to Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel. It's only about less than half an hour, you know, but there's a lot packed into that short film. So do catch it if you can. And if you miss any part of today's interview, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.